You are listening to David Kaplan. Weekdays 9 to noon on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
We don't get fooled again.
Welcome back to ESPN 1000 with Pat Boyle, Danny Zetterman, Chris Black. I'm David Kaplan. This is Kappa Company in the First Midwest Bank Studio, 312-332-3776. Tomorrow on the show, we'll have our weekly chat with Dan Orlovsky, plus former Bear Earl Bennett's going to be on the show in the 11 o'clock hour. So looking forward to all of that. Back to the phones. Joe's in LaGrange. Hey, Joe. Hi, Joe. Joe.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, fire away. Let's roll.
Hey, first of all, I'm glad you guys hit on not only the inability to run and the not wanting to run by Nagy, but the weird way he did it. I mean, you got, you know, Cordero Patterson, not even on a jet sweep, something like that, just straight out of the backfield. David Montgomery getting nothing between the tackles. It's sad, but what I want to get to is I'm kind of scared as a Bears fan, I got to say, because I'm getting some flashbacks of the mid-thousands where we had the defense. The offense sputtered. Now, back in, obviously, mid-2000, we got to a Super Bowl. This offense can't do that. But the defense started to age, and then for a good number of years, we were one of the worst teams in the NFL for a long time. And being one of the longest-standing franchises in the NFL, the ownership, the people in power need to look at this and go, it is unacceptable, whether it is Ryan Pace, whether it is Matt Nagy, whether it's Mr. Trubisky, whether it's all of them. We cannot be bottom dwellers yet. The Chicago Bears are too proud of a franchise to be bottom dwellers again. And the way this offense is looking, the second this defense starts to go downhill, that's exactly where we'll find ourselves. So I don't know if it's go pay Sean Payton whoever he wants. You know, he went to East Illinois. He's got the
Sean Payton just signed an extension for like $40 million. He's
not coming.
None of those guys are leaving, and they're probably not moving on from their head coach. No matter how this season ends,
I get that. But if you mean to tell me that John Gruden's worth I'm not saying he is, but Oakland thought that John Gruden's worth $10 million a year. Pay Sean Payton whatever he needs to, but
yeah, but Sean Payton's under contract, Joe. He's not going anywhere. You can't get him. Come on, I mean that's just not going to happen. Appreciate you listening to the show,
guys. What about Bill Belichick? Yeah. Huh, Sean McVay, guys.
They're having their own struggles, although they did win yesterday against a team that probably is going to make a coaching change, you would think. Don't you think Atlanta's probably going to do something?
Absolutely.
Arthur Blank came out yesterday and said, I'm still all in on Dan Quinn.
No, so Dan
we'll
Quinn,
see.
I hope you're renting.
Yeah.
So he we'll led see. Them to a Super Bowl. They almost won it.
They're a hot mess.
Think, though, how much different the narrative would have been if they beat the Patriots in that Super Bowl. Yeah. Even if they had the same record this year, nobody would be calling for his head.
Probably right. That's how it changes. 312-332-3776. We're talking to Kevin Fishbane in a couple of minutes from The Athletic. We'll get his take because he was in the locker room and see what that was like. If you just dropped a markedly better quarterback, and I'm not saying Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, just a better player. If you dropped Kirk Cousins onto the Bears. If you dropped
Teddy Bridgewater?
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to overpay for Teddy Bridgewater. I'm not.
No, but that I think that's the type of quarterback you're talking about, right? Better than average,
I'm talking
a
about
game
somebody
manager
that I would like to have as my starter. Like, not one. Like, look at this stat.
Oh, all of a sudden, you just said the Kirk Cousins?
He's a starting quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater's a backup. I'm talking about somebody who's a starter in the league that's markedly better than our guy, but not the superstar. Like, listen to this. We are now down 4 of the top 5 pass yards leaders of 2018. Roethlisberger, out. Mahomes, out. Ryan, out. Luck, retired. Number 4, the only one left is Jared Goff. That's it. I mean, I'm not talking about putting Tom Brady at age 28 on the Bears, but if you gave me, let me think of somebody. If you put
Stafford.
Matt Stafford on the Chicago Bears.
They would be better, but if you're telling me the Bears are still running the ball 7 times, they're not going to the promised land.
Agreed.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, like, they'd be better because they're still chucking the ball 54 times, and Matt Stafford's a much better quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky.
Yep.
But I don't think you're going anywhere because you're running the ball seven times or 2.4 yards per carry.
But isn't it the chicken versus the egg thing? Like, if you have a better quarterback, doesn't he go to the head coach, listen, we got to run the ball more? Like, imagine this happening in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers is saying to Matt LaFleur, dude, what are you doing? We got to run the ball. It's not working. Mitch Trubisky kind of goes along like a robot. Whatever you say, can I talk about that? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Look, if they put Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers on the roster right now, yeah, that's, we're talking about an MVP candidate. I'm just saying if Matthew Stafford or who's another, like, okay quarterback, yeah, like, solid, not spectacular.
Jared Goff.
If you put Jared Goff on the Chicago Bears, do they still get their head kicked in yesterday? For me, the answer is yes. Until they get a better O-line, until they commit to running the football, yes.
Here's the difference, though. Goff is at least competent. I'm not sure Trubisky is competent.
That's a great point. That's a legit point, too.
And the so few times that Trubisky throws the ball downfield, he's got to connect on him, and he doesn't.
Right.
You know, like, they only take, you know, four shots a game, three shots a game, maybe.
Correct.
And he's missing wide open. The Anthony Miller throw, that was inexcusable. Of all the, oh, there was a lot. There was a lot there.
Let's go to Kevin Fishbane, then we'll go right back to these calls. Kevin was in the locker room. He's from The Athletic, and he's very dialed in on the Bears, and he joins us now. Kevin, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. Doing a lot better than the Bears.
Absolutely right. So the Chicago Bears looked pathetic yesterday in every phase, and add in coaching on top of it. Special teams, you get out-schemed, and they block your first punt, and it should have been a touchdown. It turns into a safety. And then they block another one. And then you have quarterback play and offense play horrible. Defense, let's not give them a pass. Let's not. So, and the coaching was pathetically bad. So where do they go from here?
You know, Cap, the problem is there's not a whole lot. Well, okay, personnel-wise, I'm not sure what else they can do. That these are the guys that they're going to roll with. I know we got the trade deadline in a week, and I just don't know if you're going to find answers there. And, I mean, you have to fix this run game. You have to start there. And it's, if it's not fixable, at least just run it into the line a few times to show that you're going to try. You know, like, you don't have to run for 150 yards a game, but you have to at least show the defense that you're willing to commit to it, especially because you can't do anything through the air. So you might as well try it. I mean, Dave Montgomery should be the most promising player on this offense, and they're not giving him any opportunity to show why they traded up for him, to show why they said such great things about it all summer. You guys saw it. We saw it. I mean, the kid's got talent. And they're not giving him an opportunity to show it. And it's a shame that they're not. I have no answer. And Matt Nagy obviously has no answer to why they're not doing it. I think you have to start there when it comes to where do you go from here. You have to start with run the ball. And I'm not an established the run guy either. But when you don't have a quarterback good enough, you have to figure out how to run the ball well.
Yeah, I mean, a franchise low, seven rushing attempts. What was your reaction, Kevin, to Matt Nagy's explanation of the run-pass ratio, 7 runs to 54 passes yesterday? That was mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, guys, we know that Matt Nagy is not a run-first guy. I mean, he is not going to be a ground-and-pound head coach. And the thing with him, and we saw it in the Packers game in Week 1, if he sees that it's not working, just the slightest hint that the run game is not going to be successful, he is stubborn and he abandons it. And he just doesn't go back to it. He doesn't, you know, they try different things. They try the jet sweep to Anthony Miller. That was obviously a disaster. They put Cordarrelle Patterson in the backfield, and that's it. You know, then they give up. And that's something that I'm curious, and I want to hear what he has to say today after watching the tape. I want to figure out why he only needs such a small sample size to decide to just throw the ball around the field. And you would think at this point, I understood a little bit in Week 1 that he was overconfident in Mitch Trubisky because he had this whole preseason, the summer, the OTAs, the minicamp, the training camp. He felt good about his quarterback. He felt good about his playbook. He felt good about his guys, that they could survive without a run game. But now that you're into the season, now that you know this quarterback is not doing what you were hoping he could do, why? I just don't understand the stubbornness at this point. You know, again, early on, that's who Matt Nagy is. He's not going to be a run-first guy. Andy Reid's not either. But you don't complain about the Chiefs, how often they run the ball, because they have a passing game that is efficient.
All right, so I asked this question to Pat and to Danny and Chris. I'm going to ask you because you were in that room and you're on that beat. If I dropped not a MVP candidate, just a solid professional NFL quarterback, a starter on another team, onto this roster, that's the only change I made, and it's either Kirk Cousins, it's Matthew Stafford, Carson Wentz, who has not played well. If I dropped one of those guys onto the roster and took Mitch out, is this a markedly better team, or do they still have the same issues? Lack of an offensive line, lack of tight end play, lack of commitment to the running game, and a defense that at this point is vastly overrated.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to say markedly better, Cap, but it would be improved. You know, listen, I'm going to regret bringing this guy up. But did you guys see who Aaron Rodgers was throwing to yesterday?
Yeah. Just guys off the street, it seemed like.
The great quarterbacks make everyone around them better. Tom Brady, you look at the guys he's thrown to. I mean, you look at some of these teams around the league, and you see, I mean, there aren't really any good offensive lines. You know, the offensive line play has totally deteriorated over the years. You know, great quarterbacks make up for, you know, weaknesses around the offense, whether it's a poor O-line or lack of talented receiver or in the run game. So, yeah, if you got a better quarterback in here, and it doesn't have to be that much better, you would think that everybody else would start to improve just a little bit. And, you know, I was watching some of the highlights of that Ravens game yesterday, guys, and I know Mitch Trubisky is not Lamar Jackson as a runner, but he's not that far off. And I'm watching some of these run plays that they have designed and some of the ways that Jackson moves. And I can't help but think that Mitch Trubisky has 5 carries this season. How is that possible? How are you taking away one of his strengths and not letting him run the ball? And that's something that could help everybody else out a little bit, is if you can find a way to use that to your advantage. So I'm just as befuddled. But, Kat, I mean, you're right. I mean, right now, you put one of those guys in. You know, I will say with Kirk Cousins, I'm always a little biased with Cousins because every time I see him in person, it's against the Bears. And the last 3 times, it's been so bad. I know he's played well since that game against other teams. But, you know, Cousins, I always put in a separate category because I can't get those performances out of my head. But, yeah, some of those other guys you mentioned, you would think, you know, there's something going on with Mitch Trubisky right now, and I wonder how much of it goes all the way back to Week 1, that Packers defense just almost broke something. That something has just been off. You know, he had the nice second quarter against Washington, but other than that, you know, it's just been nowhere near what you thought it was going to be.
Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic joins us on Cap and Company on ESPN 1000. I'm Pat Boyle in with the Cap today. Kevin, is it time for Matt Nagy to get some help with play calling?
Yeah, it's hard for me to pinpoint, you know. Obviously, the play calling is not working. The scheme is struggling. So it's hard for me to sit here and necessarily say, though, that like Brad Childress would be better or Mark Helfrich would be better. But on the flip side, it's hard to see how any of those guys would be worse.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, I think that I trust that Matt Nagy, that this is a very collaborative effort when they come up with the call sheet and the playbook week to week. You know, Brad Childress and Mark Helfrich are very involved in game planning. They are in Nagy's office. They are helping him on that whiteboard. This is not like Nagy's making this entire game plan on his own. But in terms of, you know, the flow of the game, you know, we talked earlier about his abandonment of the run game. You know, maybe it's just someone has a better grasp, like it could be where Childress comes in, of just how to kind of work within the flow, and maybe that allows Nagy to step back and get a better, a clearer view of things. So, yeah, you know, I don't know how much it would help, but I can't see how it would hurt. So, you know, but also I have to believe this is a collaborative effort leading into the game. So the question is, within the game, how much can that help? And it's hard for me to say it's going to do this or that to the offense. But, you know, at this point, you have to try anything.
Okay, and do you believe that with the trade deadline not here yet, that they'll try and do anything out there to address whoever? Is there anybody out there that they can go get, whether it's an offensive lineman, whether it's another quarterback, to say, you know what,
we're going to give our fifth round pick and we're going to get that guy, or is this it? We're going to play this guy come hell or high water, and if it doesn't work, we'll figure it out in the offseason.
Cap, the one position I would consider is tight end, because it's been terrible. I mean, they're getting no production from that position. And that already was probably the position group with the least amount of talent heading into the season of any group. And it's proven right. And Trey Burton's hasn't been the same player this year that he was last year. So if you're going to look somewhere, that's where I'd look. But then you also remember, you know, it's a tough offense for guys to learn some of those roles. And are they willing to have a guy come in and try to teach it to him in a week or two? I don't know. I will say this, and you guys know it. Ryan Pace is never afraid. I mean, the guy's aggressive. We haven't necessarily seen those trade deadline moves from him in season, but he's not afraid to take a chance. I think if any position I would look at tight end, I just don't know. I just don't know if they're going to. I don't know. I mean, they have so much belief in their guys. You would think that the game like yesterday's is going to be almost the nail in the coffin in terms of like, okay, something drastic has to change to figure this out. But they also might say, hey, we're 3-3. We've invested in these guys. We don't want to give up any more draft picks. Let's just try to make this work.
One thing Pace is afraid of is a microphone. He stays away from those pretty well. Hey, Kevin, is there a reluctance to run when Trubisky is under center because Mitch isn't comfortable being under center?
That could be part of it. I'll also go back to Pat that Matt Nagy himself just isn't an under center kind of play caller. Like, it's just not something really common in his playbook. But I still think that maybe the best game plan we've seen all season was the Denver game plan, which sounds funny because it's not like the offense was really good against Denver, but it was schemed in a way that was understanding the defense you're playing against, understanding you had a quarterback that was just, you know, limited in what he could do for you, and doing just enough to get out of there with a win. And I thought that was a great game plan for that game. And it was a 180-degree change from Green Bay. And I wonder why they haven't gone back to that. There was a lot of under center, some boot action that got Mitch outside the pocket. There was a lot of run plays in that game.
Kevin, if you remember, wasn't there a scoring drive? Was all run plays, nine run plays, something like that?
Yep. That it was that long play that I think it took like Montgomery three different times from the 1 yard line to get in. But that was the type of drive that really, you know, demoralizes the defense. And I thought that yes, that team that day did not have any of the firepower that this team thought they would have. But you created a game plan that was the perfect game plan to handle the defense opposing you, to complement your defense. So why not go back to that? Why not try? You know, every week's different. I get that. But going back to the original question about under center, like, we saw a little bit in that game, more than we've probably ever seen with Trubisky. And, they did a much better job in time possession in that game than they have all season.
We're talking to Kevin Fishbane for a moment more. I look at this team, and last year, everything just looked different. And Mitch just looked like a different player. Like, I'm seeing not just a little bit of struggle, like major regression. Do you think we're getting to the point where if this continues, they are seriously going to look to find another quarterback in the offseason?
Yeah, I think they have to, Cap. You know, if right now, I would double down. I would go find a veteran, you know, that's maybe try to find someone who's a little bit on the younger end, you know, 3-4 years in the league. And try as a kind of a reclamation project type of deal, and then draft somebody. I double down. I'd bring in you go into camp with three options at quarterback, almost like a dialed down version of what you did at kicker this spring and summer. And you say, Mitch, you're the starter right now, but these two guys are going to have opportunities to beat you out for that job, and you see what happens. That's why I say right now, Kev. That's why I say at this point, because he hasn't shown me anything. Of course, he's got 10 games left to make you dial that back a little bit, to maybe only bring in a veteran or you only draft somebody. But if the season ended today, I'd say you have to double down.
Do you think that Mitch is starting Sunday?
I do. Yeah, I think he will. I don't think this organization is ready to make that kind of move. If Chase Daniel was 25 and you had a thought that he might be your guy in 2020, I would maybe be a little more flexible with that. But, you know, I'm just not sure that that's the direction they're ready to go right now.
Hey, man, have a wonderful rest of your day and a good week, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Kevin.
See you, buddy. There you go, Kevin Fishbane from The Athletic, theathletic.com to subscribe.
How about his comment, a dialed-down version of the kicker derby for quarterbacks?
It's unbelievable. Can you imagine that? We'll have 11.
Nine quarterbacks at Hallis Hall.
Yeah. Just keep running guys in there. Who's that guy? Shane Falco will be here. 312-332-3776. Back to your calls on the Bears' awful loss. Hey, by the way, thank you to one of our great listeners, Jeff, who Danny called me the other day and said, Jeff is a biochemist, and he came up with a product called Nature's Silver Lining Shingle Ease. It's got silver in it. Okay, let me just tell you something. And you can get it in Lamont at a natural grocery store, natural health food store. And I've been spraying this stuff on. Dude, it's the only thing that relieves some of the pain. The only thing.
And his wife drove it to your house.
Yes.
I mean, this guy
was amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing.
And who knew a biochemist was listening to Cap and Company?
Yeah.
So I would not have had my
money on
that.
Been a listener for a long time. Jeff actually once gave Yurko a product for something.
Yeah, for his knees.
Yeah. And Yurko said it helped a great deal.
Yeah. So, again, it's Shingle Ease. Nature's Silver Lining. If you just Google it, you'll find it. You can buy it, and it is really good. 312-332-3776. Take fast time out. Back to your calls on the Bears' awful loss. Next.
You're listening to Cap and Company starring David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
I don't know. I got to go back and see it. I'd love to give you more answers. I just know not good.
Cap and Company with David Kaplan on ESPN 1000.
Okay, I mean, we can keep playing audio all day long, but nothing's going to put, put a bow tie on that pig of an offense we watched yesterday and make it look any better. I mean, holy smokes.
I just thought Matt Nagy was football smarter than this.
Yeah, that's the amazing thing to me. Like, okay, the quarterback looks awful. Here's another question. I asked you this one before we talked to Kevin Fishbane, that if you dropped a solid NFL quarterback, like I watched Carson Wentz last night, he was not good, but he's a solid NFL player. Stafford, you dropped him in here, what would the Bears be? And again, let me give Mitch Trubisky an F or an F-. He sucks. He's been horrible. If you took Mitch and dropped him into a great team, could he succeed at all? I'm not saying be the MVP, or would they be
Why
horrific?
Are we going through this gymnastics? Why do I care?
Because
if I decide he stinks, why are we going through this?
Because Matt Nagy was so bad in his play calling, and then his defiance after the game. Well, when you run for 1-0, 1-2, let's play that. Can we play that again?
Please. This to me, this is Matt Nagy on the run-pass ratio yesterday, which, for a franchise as historic as the Chicago Bears, they rushed for a franchise low 7 times yesterday, and they threw it 54. This is Matt's explanation for that.
Yeah, early on, we weren't getting, again, we were 0-1-2 on our yards running the ball. It's really simple math. As a play caller, when it's 2nd and 9, and 2nd and 10, and 2nd and 8, and you're moving the ball, throwing it, you're getting first downs, throwing it. That's what the objective is to get first down. So I don't care if I have to throw the ball 60 times a game. If that's what's going to help us win a game, or if I have to run it 60 times, I don't care. I want productive plays. It's not hard. And so that's probably why, that's probably where that went. And then you came out the second half and you want to be more balanced. You're right. As bad as all that was and everything that's going on, we came in the locker room, it's 12-10. As bad as that was, 12-10. Think about that, right? So now you come out in the third quarter, they go down, they score, and then we fumble first play. That's hard. That's hard. And then before you know it, now you're down 9 points, and then it's double digits, and now all of a sudden you have to throw the ball every down because time matters.
Like that makes no sense.
How about the part where he says...
That's why I was having that exercise with you. Like,
Does a good quarterback fix everything, or do we seriously have a coaching problem as well?
Does he seem to think when you run it once that you're going to gain like 80 yards, so then that's why right. you keep running
like,
it?
Isn't that what it sounds like? Well, if we had gained 11 on the first play, I'll run it again, but when we get zero...
Does he not understand the cumulative effect that a running game has?
Pounding the rock. Right.
That the defense needs to respect that?
Sweet mother of God. And then, he sounds idiotic.
And then he goes, when we're getting first downs throwing it, what game was he watching?
Most of the game,
the
Saints
were watched.
Most of the game, the Saints were doubling up the Bears in first downs. Like the first half into the third quarter, the Bears had like 6 first downs total, and the Saints had almost 20.
Prior to garbage time, I think I'm right on this. I think they had 83 total yards.
Yeah.
So what first downs was he watching? Like, I like Matt. I do. But he sounds idiotic when he's on there going, well, when you get 0, 1, and 2, you can't. Really?
Think about part of the reason why they got rid of Jordan Howard, right? It was because, you know, he didn't feel he was a good pass-catching running back. And that it telegraphed to the opposition what the Bears were going to do on a given play. That was part of the reason why Jordan was shown the door and they drafted David Montgomery. Now think back where we are right now with this lack of commitment. If they get 1 or 0 or 2 yards, he's going to be stubborn and abandon the run. And he's going to force a bad quarterback with a gimpy left shoulder to beat the team with his arm. He's not going to let him roll out where he's more comfortable or run, which is one of his strengths. And you're going to shrink the field because now they're not respecting the run at all, so they're able to play back a little deeper, and the passing lanes are going to be more difficult for a quarterback who only throws 0 to 10 yards down the field. I mean, if you line that all up and said this is what our head coach believes, you'd say there's no way that guy's in the NFL,
and he's the reigning coach of the year,
right? It's so insane. Like when they self-evaluate their situation last week during the bye, and all those minds were together, and I mean, they said publicly, "We got to get the running game going." Okay, and they got together, and Kyle Long was part of their. Okay, got to get rid of him. That's going to help this offensive line. Okay, all right, fine. That's your thing, and then they devised a game plan for the Saints. And that's the running game plan like
if I knocked on the door of their meetings last week during the bye. Come in. Hey, Matt, how you doing? Hey, Cap, what's up? Hey, you're going to run the ball 7 times on Sunday. Would he have looked at me and gone, get the hell out of here? Or would he have gone, no, I guess that's possible. Like, we're going to get committed back to the run. We're going to set a record for fewest carries.
A Walter Payton bobblehead day.
It's insane. Let's go back to the phones.
Jeez.
Eddie in Hoffman Estates. Edward, what's going on, Sparkles?
What's going on, man? Are you going to do a commercial with Terry Bradshaw about shingles?
Yeah. I trust me. Well, dude.
I'm glad you're feeling better, honestly.
I'm running out of gas right now. I've been spraying this shingle-ease on me trying to get through this thing. So it's no fun.
Man, so I keep hearing you guys say Matt Nagy was the coach of the year. Okay, he was, I think, in name only. Because you can't really give that award to Vic Fangio. I think you need to cut bait and fire everybody. Fire Pace, Missy. Like drafting Mitch was a big blunder. There's no getting around that. And then I don't remember them talking to anybody besides Nagy. I think we were the first team to hire a head coach.
No. They interviewed Pat Shurmur. They interviewed Matt. Who was the third one they interviewed? And then they had to move quick because Matt was top of the list for the Colts job.
DeFilippo was he there?
DeFilippo. Yep.
I don't like any of those names that they really looked at. It's just, I think, also you're getting mad at Matt
and they met with
bailing,
Josh McDaniels.
For bailing on an area. What do you want them to say? Like, our offense sucks? Like, you want them to throw people under the bus? Of course not. I think he just realized he left the Raiders to come to a team as bad as the Raiders.
Eddie, when you get $140 million and you are the face of the franchise, good and bad, you stand at your locker, you can handle it professionally, you stand at your locker, and you take the bullets. Because I guarantee you, had they beaten the Saints and he had three sacks, he'd be the first guy standing there. And he's a hell of a football player. I'm not criticizing the player. I'm criticizing three consecutive times. The only time we've heard from him in the last 3 weeks was when he was crowing about payback against the Raiders, whatever word he used.
He wasn't crowing, though, man. He just seemed... not overly excited. He just seemed kind of cool about like getting to play his old team.
He used the word vindictiveness. He co-signed it.
Cap, they were leading questions. I'm not going to get upset with how Mac handled the pregame questions.
Okay, that's fine. But why not stand at your locker?
No, you can definitely.
Eddie, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
Yes. Is that completely professional? No.
No. Take the hit.
I sort of understood it because of the circumstances with the Raiders and whatnot, but 2 weeks in a row, I'm with you on that. But look, I'm not going to blame him when you've got leading questions like, what does it mean for you to take on the team that didn't want to give you an extension when you were a defensive player? I mean, like, what do you expect him to say?
When you sign for 140, you got to stand there and answer the questions. You just do. You answer them how you want, handle it. Guys, I'm not talking about my contract. They're a good football team. I'm happy to be a Bear. What else? How does their offense go up again? There's ways around it.
Okay, so you say that about Khalil Mack. How about your guy, Ryan Pace? He speaks at Bourbonnais, and then he goes silent.
Yeah, I don't agree with it.
If you, one thing Theo does, and Jed also... they speak regularly.
Agree, but how do other GMs handle it? Because you hear
Jerry Jones every 2 minutes.
Well, he's the owner. He loves it.
Jerry Angelo used to go a couple of times. He used to pick road venues to do his...
he would talk off the record to the guys in the back of the press box.
Right,
too.
Right.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I don't. I think if you want to, you know, enjoy the good times, you got to be there when it's bad. And not just with the flagship.
Do you think privately he knows Mitch is a mistake and he's thinking about plan B and C right now?
I mean, I'd just be completely speculating. I haven't asked him that question. I haven't talked to him. Well, how can you not?
It's time for a dip, chip, and a sit down with Pace meeting.
I don't think he's meeting with anybody right now. I don't. 312-332-3776. This hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through life's ups and downs. And for all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. The card you can count on, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. I brought my Blue Cross Blue Shield card the other day to the doctor. That's right. It's a big, big help to have that in your corner. 312-332-3776. Is the book closed on Mitch Trubisky, where he stands as a quarterback? That and your calls.
It's next. Boil and Boil on ESPN 1000.
B-O-I-L. Be right back.
Waddle and Sylvie coming up at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It is a Football Friday, a full slate of games to discuss, highlighted, of course, by Bears hosting the Saints.
Let's get this. It's a huge game for Mitch Trubisky and our Bears. We'll check in with Dan Weederer. Also, Mark Jean Greco starts in...
I think that's a little dated. Welcome back on ESPN.
We abandoned the promos like Matt abandoned the running game.
Correct. We dumped out of it quick. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Don't forget Carmen Yerk will be in here around 10 of 12 for crosstalk, because then Matt Nagy's supposed to speak at top of the hour at noon, and we will carry that right here on ESPN 1000. Waddle and Sylvie in at 2 o'clock, and I think Tommy's back to work. He had the day off on Friday. Let's go back to the phones, and where do you want to go here? How about George and Racine? He's been hanging. Hey, George, what's going on, man?
Fine. Thank you very much for having me on. Here's my first comment I want to make quickly here. I think quarterback Trubisky is still going to be a very good quarterback under head coach Nagy. It is way too early to tell. Second, I want to make this comment. I watched the Philadelphia Eagles play the Green Bay Packers when they beat them in Green Bay, and I watched the game last night against Dallas. I am convinced that the Bears are using the same blueprint as the Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia hired Doug Peterson as their head coach. He is an offensive-minded head coach from Kansas City, also under Andy Reid. His first move he did was to draft Carson Wentz, second pick in the first round. If you look at Trubisky, the quarterback, and Carson Wentz, the quarterback, they are very similar in size. They both can run, and they both have a strong arm.
Yeah, and George, we appreciate your call. Thank you for listening. Yeah, but Carson Wentz is light years better at this point today than Mitchell Trubisky has ever been.
Carson Wentz was in the MVP discussion before he first got hurt.
Correct.
Trubisky has never been in MVP discussion.
No, not at all.
Nor does it look like he ever will.
All right, back to the phones.
And, oh, by the way, Peterson and the Eagles have won a Super Bowl. But other than that, all right, Cap, pick something here.
Let's go to Calvin on the south side. Hey, Calvin, welcome.
What's going on, Cap? Just a few quick pointers, man. I just want to say the Bears have whiffed it, man. Got to go from the ownership to pace, man. I mean, Trubisky wasn't the answer. Watson and those other guys were clearly the answer. But that'll be another day for another discussion. But truthfully, if you don't have an identity as far as running the ball, because the Bears are always going to run first team, and you can't balance that mix in and add in with fugaziness talking about you getting first downs, it's just a complete atrocity. That's why I believe the defense is quick, because the offense don't inspire them.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Calvin, thanks for listening to the show, man. Have a great week, okay? Yeah. Look, professionals don't quit. I think they ran out of gas in the second half, and I think a better offense, this team all of a sudden would be better defensively, but there's no excuse that the first drive of the second half, when you've been sitting on your butt for 30 minutes resting and they take it right down your throat, and Teddy Bridgewater's able to evade Khalil Mack, who went for the strip, and then I think it was Roquan, but I can't remember, who ended up bringing him down, and he just got enough for the first down. Can't allow that drive. You cannot.
Do you think resentment can be building between the two sides?
You know who'd be a great person to ask that question? Tom Waddle, because he has always talked about how bad they were offensively, right. And that Richard Dent would be like, just don't turn it over. Just don't
Hold
screw
them.
It
we'll
up.
Be out. Yeah. We'll be right back.
We'll score. We'll take care of the scoring. So,
I mean, Tommy, that's what it takes, really.
Yeah. Tommy would be interested. It'd be interesting to get his perspective on that. 312-332-3776. Jim's in Schererville. He's next. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Pat. I hope you feel better, Cap. That's
Thanks,
a
man.
Tough thing, that shingle stuff, man.
It sucks.
Hey, listen. Yeah, I know, man. Got to get that vaccination, but next time.
Yep.
Go ahead. Hey, listen, man. What I was looking at is I watched Mitch's press conference. I had mentioned to Danny. You know, I noticed one of the reporters asked him a question about, what do you think the number one problem is? And he said, we don't have an identity. I think that's a shot at Nagy. And watching the Bear games for many years, I have never seen so many curl routes. And I watch a lot of football. This guy should just go to a three-step drop. And, you know, if you got a man-to-man, you go to the isolated guy with the matchup that you like. If they're playing two safeties, you got the tight end in the seam. He set this kid up to fail. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback, but he wasn't that bad last year, Cap. He wasn't that bad last year.
No, he
what
was.
Happened?
What happened? Jimmy, thanks for the call, man. Have a great week. He was markedly better last week. I mean, last year. This year, he has regressed incredibly. The offense just looks awful. Absolutely awful. And they don't commit to the run game, and this guy doesn't make a throw when he has to. Like, it's just a whole collection of crap. Terrible.
I will also say, you know, we go to the defense, and we're trying to figure out why they've had such lapses. I mean, to me, the Raider game, they were absolutely manhandled in the trenches. and were gashed up the middle. This past game yesterday, they were gashed up the middle. Fatigue has been an issue. And we've seen Khalil tap out at certain times during, key drives. And I'm wondering, the cumulative effect of all the time that they're on the field together, how that affects this team even only 7 weeks in. It has to, right?
No commitment to the run. I'm not going to let the media tear us apart and be negative. Like, it's starting to get that 2014 flavor to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, minus the 50 burgers.
Minus the 50 burgers and minus the embarrassment that Trestman was. Like, he was embarrassing. Like, Matt's a professional coach, but it's awful. It looks awful. And I know they're 3-3. 312-332-3776. Let's go. Where are we going to go? How about Billy and Elgin? Get his thoughts on Teddy Bridgewater. Hey, Billy, what's going on, man?
How are you, Kat?
Hanging in there.
So you say that Teddy Bridgewater is not a starting quarterback, yet all he has done is won as a starting quarterback.
Say that one more time.
You say that Teddy Bridgewater is a backup, not a starting quarterback. And you talk about dropping a quarterback onto the Bears. All Teddy has done is won as a starter.
Yeah, what I said was I'm not overpaying him when he gets the free agency and giving him whatever a starting quarterback's going to get, $18, $20 million a year. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm not paying him that kind of money. Is he better than Mitch? Yeah, obviously he's better than Mitch. There's no question about that. Am I paying that guy whatever it's going to take, $50 million in guaranteed money and a 4-year deal for whatever? No, I'm not. I'm not. If we get him, we get him. I would prefer to see them do something else.
All right.
Thanks, man. Have a good day. Ernest is in Mount Prospect. He's next. Hey, Ernest.
What's going on, Cap? Hey, I love you guys' show, man. I love your honesty and objectivity, too. I know it's hard on a day like today.
Appreciate it.
Here's my I had like a kind of two-part question. Isn't it frustrating watching the Bears change people? Positions who are really good at their positions. Like, I feel like all of the offensive line problems are because you took your Pro Bowl center, tried moving him to guard, and you took a guy who's inexperienced at center, which is the most important offensive line position. You call out the protections, you get everyone on the same page, and he's struggling with it. It's kind of like what they did with Kyle Long. He was an all-pro guard. They moved him to tackle, and he's never been the same. It's frustrating because the Bears, the old moniker is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But the Bears don't believe in that, it seems like. It just doesn't make sense.
Ernest, well said. Very, very valid points. This O-line's got to get fixed, and it's got to get fixed quickly. But I didn't think that was as big a problem as play calling and quarterback play yesterday. Quick timeout around the NFL with Adam Schefter and more of your calls next.